You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, lawmakers are holding a hearing today for a bill that would ban so-called sanctuary cities in Wisconsin. We'll get the details.
First, more and more women are coming forward with their stories of sexual harassment and sexual assault after the New York Times and the New Yorker published stories on Hollywood mega producer Harvey Weinstein.
The harassment and assault allegations against Weinstein go back years and involve multiple cash settlements with non-disclosure agreements. They're part of a recent string of high-profile stories of powerful men in business harassing female employees, including companies like Fox News and Uber.
Maya Ragu joins us now. She's Director of Workplace Equity and Senior Counsel at the National Women's Law Center. Maya, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Maya, there has been a string of news stories over the past year or two about high-profile men who later face multiple allegations of sexual harassment and abuse. And the stories always seem to detail patterns of behavior that have been going on for a long time, sometimes over the course of years. What can workplaces do differently to prevent sexual harassment and assaults in the first place?
Well, you've definitely hit the nail on the head. I think a lot of the discussion about sexual harassment to this point has been about victims coming forward and reporting and then companies' response to that. But the only way that we're really going to stop sexual harassment from happening in the first place is to think about proactive steps that companies and other employees can take to prevent this from happening in the first place. And that is really going to require investment and commitment and dedication by the leaders of companies to taking on this issue and really changing the culture of their workplace. And it really does start from the top. Employees will take the message and steps to address sexual harassment much more seriously if they see that the leader of the company and leaders of their peer companies are standing up and saying sexual harassment is wrong, and we don't want to just respond to it when it occurs. We want to prevent it from happening in the first place, and here's what we are doing to make that happen.
So you mentioned changing the culture, having leaders be visible and vocal about saying sexual harassment isn't okay. In terms of concrete policies and things that might be more binding, what does changing the culture look like?
Well, first of all, it means having a sexual harassment policy. That's not just a piece of paper, you know, that lives in a binder or on the website or in the HR office, but that is meaningful and is implemented through frequent trainings in a way that helps employees understand what it means and how it appears in their workplace and what their responsibilities are to respond to it. So, for example, do managers know about the sexual harassment policy? Do they know what to do in particular situations? Are they held accountable for failing to take action when someone comes forward and reports sexual harassment and conducting an investigation or directing it to the right person? Do employees know what to do in a particular situation? Do they know that they can go and report? Do they feel comfortable doing so? Do they feel like they'll be taken seriously? If coworkers see sexual harassment happening, do they feel empowered to speak up or to act to stop it when they see it? And that's particularly important because although men, of course, can be victims and are victims of sexual harassment, frequently men are the perpetrators of harassment. And when a man sees another man stopping sexual harassment and stepping up to say that's wrong and supporting survivors and victims, that's what sends a very, very powerful message and can help change culture and behavior. And the other thing that's incredibly important is for companies to send the message that there are consequences or sexual harassment and sexual assault, and that perpetrators will be held accountable. You know, so often what we see, and we see it in these high-profile cases that are reported in the news, is that companies are protecting their superstars or their high performers and trying to brush it under the rug or covering it up. And that allows serial harassers to continue with their behavior with no consequences whatsoever. And that sends really, you know, disturbing and harmful messages. And things aren't going to change unless people in the company, clients, people who interact with the company see that there are real consequences for that behavior, including, you know, losing your job.
If you look at this latest case, the Harvey Weinstein case, as the story evolves, it seems as though now people are saying, well, this went on for, allegedly went on for decades, and this was maybe a secret some people have described as being hidden in plain sight, that there were people who must have enabled this if these allegations are founded. What about the people who surrounded, you were getting at this there, about the culture of enabling or not knowing how to deal with it? What about the people who are not the perpetrator but might be empowered to stop sexual harassment? What do they need? What tools do they need?
Well, again, you're right. This issue of complicity and enabling is a huge issue, and goes back to what I was saying before. So they may not feel empowered to act because they may feel there may be consequences for them if they do so. So again, some message from leadership and from the top that encourages people to come forward and say something when they see it and to take action is incredibly important, whether they are, you know, just regular employees or that they're high-level executives, because they are the ones who helped enable and cover up a lot of this behavior. So they need to be held accountable, too, for failing to do something in that situation. And really, that comfort will only come when their leadership tells them that they should be doing this, that they should be putting a stop to it, and they need to be part of the solution.
We're talking to Maya Raghu right now, Director of Workplace Equality and Senior Counsel at the National Women's Law Center, talking about how to prevent sexual harassment in the workplace. And Maya, what's the current state of federal law when it comes to workplace sexual assault and harassment?
So sexual harassment and assault are connected, although they tend to be addressed by two different parts of the law. So sexual harassment is illegal under federal law and under every state's law. It's a form of sex discrimination under Title VII, which is a major federal anti-discrimination law, and many state laws as well. And generally, there are sort of two types of sexual harassment. One is when an employer or supervisor says to someone, you know, have sex with me, go on a date with me, accept these sexual advances in order to get a job or to keep a job or to advance in a job. The other type of sexual harassment is hostile work environment sexual harassment. So that means comments, different types of behavior, groping, unwanted touching, anything that escalates all the way to sexual assault or rape, comments about your body, your sex life, pictures, that rises to a level that's so severe and pervasive that it becomes a hostile work environment. And that's generally the case under state law as well.
Earlier this year, Congress rolled back the Fair Pay and Safe Workplaces order for the Obama administration. How does that change things for women?
Part of what that executive order did was to say to federal contractors that they couldn't require people to go to arbitration to resolve discrimination and sexual harassment complaints. Basically, people were having to give up their day in court. And mandatory arbitration helps cover up things like sexual harassment because arbitrations are private proceedings that are mostly controlled by employers. They get to pick the arbitrator, they get to pick the forum, the filings, the allegations are kept secret, the ultimate resolution is kept secret, and many of the people who bring the claims need to have to sign non-disclosure agreements once the claim is resolved. So again, you know, that this is happening increasingly, and it's more frequent in employment situations, and it really covers up sexual harassment and can silence victims of sexual harassment. So rolling back that executive order really made it much harder for victims to come forward and seek justice.
The big news this last couple weeks, Harvey Weinstein, the company, the Fox company with Roger Ailes. These are high-profile companies with important figureheads. But is this kind of behavior a problem in all kinds of workplaces?
Absolutely. Sexual harassment is a problem in every workplace across the country. We hear about high-profile cases in particular industries more, like media or the tech industry or entertainment, but sexual harassment is incredibly prevalent in a lot of workplaces, and particularly those where you have a lot of people working in low-wage jobs. You know, sexual harassment is about power. And people who are working in certain industries and low-wage jobs, fast food or retail, have a lot less power than someone like Gretchen Carlson or some of the actresses that have come forward. And it is not at all to minimize what happened to them or to minimize their incredible bravery in coming forward and speaking about harassment and violence. But, you know, many times people who are working in these low-wage jobs don't have access to the same resources, so they can't find and hire an attorney, or they can't afford to pursue a lawsuit if that's what they want. And, you know, many of them are supporting families on these jobs, so to come forward is a huge, huge risk. If they lose their jobs, that will endanger their family's economic security as well as their own safety.
Maya, thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That was Maya Ragu, Director of Workplace Equality and Senior Counsel at the National Women's Law Center, talking with us about preventing harassment in the workplace.
Coming up, we'll talk to a political scientist about today's hearing on a state bill that would ban so-called sanctuary cities in Wisconsin. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.